Hi, thanks for listening to one of our Sunday talks from the Center for Spiritual Living in Midtown Atlanta. If this is your first time listening to one of our talks, we certainly hope you enjoy it. But if you're a regular listener to our podcast, we would like you to consider contributing to our center. It's easy to do. All you have to do is go on our website, and it's easy to find the button and make a contribution. That will allow us to continue bringing these talks to you on a regular basis in the future. Once again, thanks for listening.
All the Light We Cannot See is my talk title this morning. It was a book that came out during the summer, and I was all excited about it only because of the title itself. It truly resonated with me, All the Light We Cannot See. And then just last week, the New York Times came out saying it should be one of the top 10 books of this year that you should be reading this year. It's a love story. It's really wonderful. So if you can, pick it up. It's a novel. It's great. But All the Light We Cannot See, what I wanted to talk about is something really wonderful about religious science. As religious scientists, we understand that it's not this way around the world. The majority of the world says, I'll believe it when I see it. But in religious science, we say, I'll see it when I believe it. So the belief has to come first, but all the rest of the world wants to see it first. And so here we are on December 21st, and I want to talk about the winter solstice for just a little bit. So for those of you that don't know, we get about 600 hits on our website every week to listen to the talk online. So there's a lot of people out there listening to us every single week. And so just for those of you out there in the internet world, you know I always talk from the podium, and on one side I'm always talking about the world of cause, and on the other side the world of effect. So I want to talk to you a little bit about that. So I'm going to start all the way over here in the world of effect. And all the light we cannot see. Because here we are on December 21st, which is the longest night of the year. Officially, our winter solstice is at 6:03 this evening, so that's when it's really our darkest hour that we have here. So I'm going to talk a little bit about that in our physical world. I'm going to move over just a little bit more and talk about the darkness that's going on in consciousness. There's a huge darkness going on around the world. Christmas Day 2014, there's a lot of darkness. And it has to do with the consciousness of what's going on in the world. So I want to talk about that, and what it's happening in consciousness is it's also creating that world of effect down here and creating darkness down there. So we've got the physical world pointing to darkness. We got the consciousness of the world pointing to darkness. And for those of you that know me, when I come over to this side, I want to talk about cause. And there is no darkness over here. It's nothing but pure cause over here. It's the light of the world. It's the truth of the world. It's all of those understandings that we have. The wholeness of the world is what we have over here in cause. So I'm going to walk us through that this morning, going all the way through that. So what we're doing is, sitting on this planet, we think we're on a perfect planet and it's absolutely beautiful. But you know what? We are wobbling through space like this. And we wobble every year. We wobble this way for our winter solstice. We wobble this way for our summer solstice. So it's just this wobble that's happening. And over here in the world of effect, what we've done is we've wobbled the farthest away from the sun. So right now we're having our shortest days and we're having our longest time in darkness. So we notice it here in Atlanta, Georgia. So pretty much I get home, I'm still at the law firm at 5:30. It's dark. It's already dark at 5:30 when I'm leaving. Up north, how many of you are Northeasterners that know that pretty much around 4:30 up in New York, it's dark at 4:30? So you know that. I'm excited on Christmas Day. They always play a church recital over in England, and they're talking about, it's sending chills down my spine just saying this. They say, yes, the sun is setting here at 4:15. And I was like, 4:15, the sun is setting. So this is a physical darkness. And it was in this darkness in Europe and Israel that many celebrations occurred, because here we are having this winter solstice. There was all kinds of things happening that wanted to announce light in the middle of the darkness that was happening around December 21st. Feasts were occurring about the return of the sun. You have to understand, we did not have freezers and refrigerators back 2,500 years ago. And so what was happening is there was a mass slaughtering of like the cattle and everything right at the end of the fall because they didn't want to have to feed those cattle through the winter. They couldn't do it. So there was a mass amount of meat and food available right at this time of year. At the same time that everything, all the crops that they pulled out in the fall have fermented perfectly, so there's all kinds of liquor available right now. So you can imagine December 21st, let's have a party. It's going on. So all this turned into a feast. There was Saturnalia, the Roman feast, and they gave gifts to the poor. That's what was happening at the time. There was the Dongye festival in China. It celebrated the return of the light. The Judaic traditions was already celebrating the Festival of Lights, the celebration of the miracle of the oil lasting for 8 days. The Germans were already celebrating the Yule festival. That was for 12 days. Celtic legend connected the solstice with Baldur, the Scandinavian sun god who was struck down by a mistletoe arrow. So do you see where all we're kind of pulling together, the 12 days, mistletoe, lots of things we're pulling out of here. Some of this was a festival for the return of the light, going from the physical darkness to the light. But just like I said, a girlfriend of mine on December 21st, she was making it her mission to stand on every single continent of the world. And she had all the continents down except one, and that was Antarctica. So she called a company that says, you have to guarantee me that I am going to step foot on the continent of Antarctica. And the travel guide says, well, we can't promise you. It depends on the weather. It depends on everything. We'll get you down there. We'll get you close. Whether you stand on the continent or not, it depends on the weather and things like that. But she had to be down there on December 21st. Why? She's all the way down here in Chile, and it is the longest day of the year down there. It is summer right now. It's the summer solstice. It's the longest day of the year, the land of the midnight sun. And she spoke to me about that summer day on December 21st. And she said how beautiful the flowers were because the nights, the days were so long and there was so much growth going on and everything like that. And it reminds me of being June 21st one year in Alaska. I went all the way up to Nome, Alaska to celebrate the summer solstice. And it was exactly the same way. The sun barely hits the horizon as it goes back up because it's the land of the midnight sun. It's absolutely spectacular. So while it may seem to be physically the longest night of the year, the longest time we're in darkness, the southern hemisphere is celebrating the longest day of the year. So if this is the case, where's the darkness? You think I'm talking about two things? I'm not. I don't want any duality going on here. It might be the fact of us where we reside on this planet, but we learn that it's not the truth of us about this darkness. The world as a whole is in balance. We as a whole are in balance, but we have to know this. We have to know this. So you have to understand, way back 2,500 years ago when they started doing this, the world was very small. It was actually just their world. It was the European Scandinavian world is all that there was. They did not know that there was a whole nother world that was celebrating the opposite of what they were celebrating. They didn't know that at the time. So it was a very small thing that knew that. So it's not easy sometimes to know that even in our darkest hour, light is available. Light is available. There is something within us which knows, even at the end of the longest night, there will be light. There's something within us, and I want to talk about that something within us, which is over here in the cause. But there's another darkness that I want to talk about. That's the physical darkness. There's another darkness that I want to talk about because Christmas will dawn in 2014 and a world gripped by a growing sense of fear. And when we're in fear, we're in darkness. We've been hit this year with successive waves of fear, 2014. We had a possible worldwide epidemic going on. We got a renewed war in the Middle East. We've got rising racial tensions going on. We've got challenges to freedoms long enjoyed by segments of our population, and the potential threat of these freedoms are being taken away. Now, I told Paul I didn't want to give you this talk today because I didn't want to talk about those things on a Christmas talk. I should be talking about, I've got the Bible here for you if you want me to read the Bible and read the Bible story, which I might read a little bit of it for you. But I wanted to let you know that there's another kind of darkness that's covering the world, and it has nothing to do with the physicality. It has everything to do with consciousness. Consciousness. There is darkness in the world because of that. So we're facing an Ebola pandemic this year. And it began in West Africa, but it has sent shockwaves around the world. So as anxiety rose in America, politicians began to reflect the irrationality that fears always produces. People traveling from anywhere in Africa, it didn't matter, are put on this 21-day reserve. You can't come back for 21 days. So the freedoms were kind of restricted on us as Americans just because of our ignorance of what is coming from Africa or anything like that. But this truly is coming from something much more than just Ebola happening only in a certain part of Africa. Perhaps this whole thing resulted in a part from a powerful racist mentality against all things African. All things African, which continues to affect the Western world no matter how much we try to deny it. So people stopped flying in droves. And it wasn't just from Africa that they stopped flying. They stopped flying from a lot of places in Europe because they didn't know where those flights originated. And I could be sitting right next to somebody that originated from South Africa. And I don't want to be sitting next to them. So the world suddenly felt very small as we felt we were exposed to Ebola. We had this fear. And the world is dark because of that. The politics of the Middle East is another aspect of fear gripping us. It was in 2014 that we may have started to realize that the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan may have done more harm than good. We have watched many military victory that we may have had in the past kind of being taken away just in this one year of what's going on with that. We have been made to watch as citizens of the world, people being beheaded. This fear that they're trying to put on us is another form of darkness. In 2014, hostility toward all immigration of those who don't look like us grew exponentially in our country. There is fear. There is darkness. There's darkness in the racial tensions in 2014. The racial divide that we thought was declining since the 60s began to grow again in America. We have elected an African-American president for the last two elections, but we're forced to face a deep and unresolved reservoir of racist rage that is simply going on still underneath all of that. Where hostility still sees, fear grows rapidly, there's darkness. Women in America also had to revisit the age-old attempt by males to control the bodies of women by a court approval of a body of business leaders, most of whom are male, to determine what services a woman can receive through job-related insurance. This is cause for rising fear. This is darkness in America. My final darkness fear is that of the rising gap between the wealthy and the average citizen. The rich do get richer, the poor are getting poorer. It's one of the worst levels it's been in a couple of decades right now. And if you take the Bible classes that the Reverend David gives, you understand what the rich get richer and the poor get poorer really means. When you step over here in cause, it makes perfect sense. The rich in spiritual understanding get richer. The poor in spiritual understanding get poorer. That's all that it means. But the rest of the world wants to have it over here in the world of effect about the rich getting richer and the poor getting poorer. And that's what, when I read the Wall Street Journal every day, they sit there and they talk about that huge divide going on. The stock market reached an all-time high this year, and Tiffany sales and cars over $50,000 soared, but Walmart sales are down. This is revealing that the nation's wealth is concentrated into the hands of fewer and fewer people. A recent study shows that 90% of the wealth created since the crash of the market in 2008 has benefited 1% of the population. The rising wealth disparity in this country and in this world was a cause of fear in 2014. It's another cause of darkness. So, you're right, David, don't be talking about that at Christmas. Get over all this talk of darkness. I just wanted to show you that we have a physical darkness in the world on the longest night of the year, but we also have this man-made darkness as well that we're living in. And it's up to us in the middle of the physical darkness and the darkness of consciousness to know there is light. That is why we come to a place such as this. There is all the light we cannot see in all of this. Just as in the physical world, we sense darkness in the northern hemisphere, the southern hemisphere is enjoying the longest day of the year. Go online today and find a webcam down in Australia. They're all on the beach. They're having a very good time. You start to get a big sense of this burgeoning world you live in, and we can do this now, but 2,000 years ago, they didn't know that was going on. And finally, after the winter solstice, they had a return to light. Thus the celebration started, but not just the return of the sun. As Westerners, we've lost our vision of light. We can't see. We want to light everything up, for we fear the darkness. And there was a great New York Times op-ed yesterday about what has light done to us, the invention of light. But something still within us can see physical light if we but try. I love the story of Michael Beckwith. He's a religious science minister in Los Angeles at the Agape Church. He went to Africa to visit some tribal communities. And he really got really deep into the tribal communities. And at night, the men were leaving and going on a tribal hunt. And so they were all getting together and pulling together their spears and everything like that. And Michael Beckwith is standing there, and he's got his Nike sneakers on, and he's going to go with them out on this thing. They're barefoot. And they start running off into the woods, and they're just going every which way. And the tribesmen are just way ahead of them, and they're just like going like this. And Michael, he's stumbling on the rocks and the branches, and he's doing everything. And he just couldn't believe it. He's in great shape, and why can't I keep up with these guys? And they stop for a minute and break, and Michael catches up with them. And he's like, how are you guys doing this? You're barefooted. You're beating me. It's so dark out here and everything. And the tribesmen said, can't you see the light from the trees? Can't you see the light from the trees? And Michael had to stop because we have learned to not see the light from the trees. We have learned to not see the light in our surroundings because we just want to flick the switch. That's all we want to do. So our mind is not used to seeing the emission of light that's happening that Ursula spoke about when we got up here. So there is a way in the physical world to pay attention that there is light. All the light we cannot see, there's light there, but you have to get your mind in tune with it. We've lost that because we've come for the last 100 years, we're able to flip on a switch and do that. And the same darkness that covers the world with race consciousness today is the same darkness that covered the world 2,000 years ago. They had pandemics back then, if you remember the fear of the locusts and the diseases of the Old Testament times. They had the issues with the Middle East back then. There's nothing new. 2,000 years later, we're still fighting in the Middle East. You all have to remember when Isaiah was being written to foretell the story of the leader to be born, Syria was just getting ready to invade Judea. So that's when we're writing that someone needs to come along and save us. This was written about 733 BC. So there was that talk back then of the Savior being born, the one that's going to come and save us. Save us from the fear. Save us from the darkness. There was the did not look like us mentality even back then. So the women then were personal property, just chattel, no rights, what's going on. Wealth was had by just the few. So if you go back all these 2,000 years, you see not much really has changed. We're kind of moving along with that same darkness. It was a physically dark world as well as a consciously dark world back then. And in the midst of all that race consciousness, do the mystics of the time say, look to the light. Look to the light. Stand in the midst of that darkness and know something better. So there's a beautiful story written about the birth of a baby that's going to change all of that, as Isaiah was saying. This is where we get to our Bible story in Luke 2.9. I'm not going to read all of it. I just want to read you a couple lines because metaphysically, it's absolutely beautiful. If you want to hear the Bible saying, watch the Charlie Brown special. They do such a great job of reciting it. I love the Charlie Brown special, bringing up the Bible like that. But Joseph also went to the town of Nazareth in Galilee, to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. So I love that. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that. Down below, shepherds are in a nearby field, and guess what? Angels appear, and, you know, they're shaking in their boots. And what does the angel say? Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. And that's what this whole message of Christmas is about. Do not be afraid. All the fears that are gripping us, whether it's in the physical darkness or in this consciousness of darkness that we have going on in the world this day, this hour, right now, do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is the Messiah, the Lord. There will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in the bands of cloth and lying in a manger. So what they are sitting there saying is to those people back then is, in the midst of all that darkness, something is being born. So there's no room in the inn, and you have to realize what the author Luke was saying. No room at the inn. First, it was on the outskirts of town. It wasn't in downtown where they were when they went to Bethlehem. It was on the outskirts of town. And also, too, it's on the outskirts of town that there's no room for them in the inn. So the outskirts of town are kind of like Snellville. So our Savior is being born in Snellville. And here we are in Atlanta, what's going on. So why the outskirts of town? Why was there no room in the inn? At the center of town, you know what's at the center of town? Race consciousness. The belief of everybody else. That's what's going on at the center of town. In the center of our mind, that's what's going on. In the center of our mind, we're worried about what we need to do for work tomorrow. We need to worry about what's going on with the holidays. We've got to finish up Hanukkah. We have to finish up Christmas. We've got to finish up Kwanzaa. We've got to do all of this. That's what's going on in the center of our mind. Is there a chance for a new idea or a new birth to happen with all of that going on? Not at all. It has to happen on the outskirts of town. It's got to come to you from an outside portion of your regular thinking for that idea to come forth on there. Same thing, what's happening in the inn? They can't have anything born at the inn. I love the nighttime drive-thru at a Baptist church over by my house. I go there and my friends, they say, oh, we want to sit in the back of your truck and throw water balloons at all the people that are in the thing. And I was like, no, we're not going to do that. But we are going to go through the drive-thru over there. But it's really cute. You get over to the inn, and it's packed with people. It's a little cubicle that they built, and it's packed with people, and the ladies are sitting there on the bench, and they're knitting, and there's just no room in the inn. So they really do a good job about portraying why there's no room in the inn. But at the same time, what's going on in the inn? Race consciousness, once again. In that area, that's what's going on in the center of town. That's what's going on in the city. In the midst of town are all the fears we just described. In the midst of the city is race consciousness, which is the average way of thinking. This child being born, this new idea being born, this light in the midst of the darkness being born cannot happen in the midst of all the talk of darkness. They're all talking about the talk of darkness, and we're trying to announce the light. That's what we're doing. You've got to remove yourself from that way of thinking in order for a new idea to be born, a new idea of light. And also notice that that birth does not occur in a castle when you get to that story. It happens in a barn. And not only does it happen in a barn, they're put in a feeding trough. The baby's put in a feeding trough. So what is this trying to say? The mystical writers are saying this new idea is not only for the kings of the countries, it's for everyone. This understanding is even for the poorest of the poor. You need to understand this. The fun part of Luke is never read, but I love it, and it's Luke 2:24. I'm not going to read it again. But on the eighth day, he's going to be circumcised. And for the circumcision to occur, they have to offer up an offering. And what do they offer up? Two turtle doves. So just so the next time you know you sell that sing the 12 days of Christmas, I just want you to understand when you get down to two turtle doves, it's not really cute about two turtle doves. The two turtle doves didn't end up very well, and neither did Jesus on that day. So both of them. So sing it with gusto and understand what's going on, but it's right there in Luke. Go ahead and read it. And so we have our Christmas story, this new birth, a new idea, the light in the midst of the darkness. Always at night did the birth occur. How many of you ever seen a manger scene that was in the daytime? It's not. Why is that? We've got to have the star. Got to have the star. So it's always at nighttime. So this new idea is being born in the darkness. But race consciousness comes rearing back. We stand over here and say, I have a new idea, I have a new idea, I have a new idea. Race consciousness comes roaring back saying, oh, just a minute. Race consciousness in the case of the bishops of Rome at the time came back, and in 336 AD, and it's written down, this is the first time that it was written down, that Christmas will be December 25th. Christmas will be. They'd agreed, the bishops of Rome said, 336 AD, 25 December, Natus Christus in Bethlehem, Judea. That's all it's written. AD 336, 25 December, Natus Christus in Bethlehem, Judea. The first Christmas that we know now wasn't celebrated until December 25th, 336. What happened for all those other years? What were they doing? What happened until then? Well, the bishops in 336 noted that all those festivals, the meat and the drinking and all that was happening, and they were celebrating the light, they were talking about that. But in all of my Bible studies that I've done, it really puts the birth of Jesus in the spring. So one of the things the astronomers are even saying is that very star of Bethlehem, the star of Bethlehem, was actually three planets that came into alignment that year that were so bright they have not seen anything like it before. And so that happened in the spring of about 3 BC is when that happened. So it was even in 200 AD that Clement of Alexandria, Egypt wrote that the birth of Christ was the 28th year of Augustus and the 25th day of Palhon, which is about May 20th. That's when they were saying the birth of Christ was about 200. But the bishops in 300 said, we must wrap new Christian stories around these old pagan ideas. And the Christmas we celebrate in 2014 is filled with kissing under the mistletoe in honor of Balder, the sun god that was killed with a mistletoe arrow. Saint Nicholas in the 4th century Lycia, which is a small town in Asia, was delivering gifts to homes. He was throwing gifts through the windows, is what Saint Nicholas was doing. It was in 8th century Germany that Saint Boniface, an apostle of Germany, held up an evergreen in his sermon as a symbol of the everlasting Christ. So I love standing out there welcoming you guys today because we have those evergreens just going up there, and that's all because of Saint Boniface that we have those. But it was Luther, when he was called back, that he pulled a tree inside and he put on candles on the tree, and that was Luther that did that. So finally, the German court went to England and they took that tradition with them. And it wasn't until the 13th century that Christmas carols came along, caroling. What was happening prior to the 13th century? The Dark Ages. All of a sudden, something's enlightened. And if you read a lot of the mystics, you know, Hildegard of Bingen, Meister Eckhart and everything, they're all about the 1300s, the 13th century, 1400s is when they're coming up. And what they were doing is they were recognizing the light in the midst of the Dark Ages. They were just coming out of that. And they were writing about all of that. Well, guess what? They started singing about all of that, the return of the light. So finally, it was Constantine in 313 that went back to mixing the pagan ideas with the Christ ideas. So we have this whole mishmash of what happens on December 25th. But the main point I want to leave you with is this one affirmation. All the light we cannot see. All the light we cannot see. Even in the midst of physical darkness, announce all the light you cannot see. Don't curse the darkness, for then that is all that you're going to see if you're cursing the darkness. You have to announce all the light you cannot see. And when it comes to the darkness of the race consciousness, again, you must announce all the light you cannot see. An example of this is at my law firm this week. So we had our party last night, and they were canceling it as of Thursday night. And it was just successive things happening with the law firm. On Thanksgiving weekend, one of my paralegals' mother passed away, and so it was a hard Thanksgiving. The very next week after that, did another paralegal, her brother passed away. So that was like really heavy and a lot of darkness going on in the firm and taking care of those paralegals. So even we get down to this week, the week of the party, and another paralegal that we have that's in our Florida office, her dad is diagnosed with a rare cancer and he was given a year to live. And then finally on Thursday, another paralegal, her grandfather lives in Perry, he's had a brain aneurysm and we're going. So the head of the firm called me and said, we're canceling the party. We can't have a party with all of this going on. And you know what I said to her? All the light we cannot see. You cannot cancel Christmas. You have to announce the light. In the midst of all that darkness, it's up to you to walk into your law firm. It's up to you to walk into your corporation. It's up to you to announce all the light we cannot see. For if we go with race consciousness, they were going to push the party into January, but you know, the race consciousness is going to be pretty much the same in January as it is right now. And then we're going to move it to February, which is our anniversary, February 3rd, and we'll just have a bigger party then. But the thing is that we would still be putting off that party each time, because all that they could see is the darkness. It's up to somebody to walk in and announce the light. And that is us. That's when we understand, this is not the truth about me, the physical darkness. This is not the truth about me in this race consciousness and this darkness that's being created in the world that each one of us is a part of. This is the truth about me, my cause. I have to understand that. We have to announce that all the time. It's been said, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Same thing. The city, race consciousness of light, cannot be hid. We have a great center right here. Our race consciousness cannot be hid. We are a light. We walk out of here every single Sunday going to brunch, and we walk into every single one of those restaurants with a light about us, just like Ursula said, because we have a greater understanding about this. And as you realize this truth that you are the light of the world, you become a light in your home and your community. So let your light so shine before humankind that they may see your good works. All the light we cannot see, you must know it's there. All the love that you cannot feel, you need to know that it's there. All the good that you think is absent, it's there. And you're the one that has to recognize it. All the love we cannot feel, we must know that it's there. And it is truly wonderful, and so are you, and so it is. So let's bring this understanding down to our own consciousness and our own understanding. There is a light, not just in this world, but a universal light that is ever present. It is everywhere present. It's present at the farthest reaches of the universe. It's present within our galaxy. It's present right down here to this world, whether we're tilting forward it or tilting away from it. The light is there. We are an aspect of that light. As that light shines upon us, it makes us recognize that we are the one that needs to announce the light of the world. Wherever we go, whatever circumstances we're in, we announce the light of the world. We go in and we announce love. We go into situations and announce joy. We go into situations and announce abundance. We go into a situation and announce creativity. All when the rest of the world is announcing the lack of money, the lack of creativity, there's no job, and my health is bad. It's up to us to stop in the midst of all that and announce the light we cannot see. All the light we cannot see is available to us every single second of every single day. All the light we cannot see is available to every single decision that we need to make from this point forward. All the love that we cannot feel is available to us to love ourselves first and each other after that. And that each other spills over into all the different countries of the world, all the different religions of the world. We are all that same light. And it's when we recognize that, we recognize the truth about ourselves. I give great thanks for this understanding. I give great thanks for this recognition that even in the midst of the physical darkness, the race consciousness darkness, I, each one of us, is the light unto this world. And it is on December 25th that we go ahead and announce a new idea has been born, and it's a new idea about ourselves, that no matter what's going on out there in our world of effect, there is something greater to be known. It's the birth of a new idea. We have those new ideas for each one of us, finishing up 2014, and newer ideas coming to each one of us for 2015. We give great thanks for this, and I release this to law, knowing this is the truth for each and every one of us. And so it is.